Okay, as we continue with the broadcast, the National Intel Report, I'm Chris Gerner, filling in for John Stadmiller as he's recovering from his injuries. We're talking about Condoleezza Rice. Apparently, according to John in Louisiana, Condoleezza Rice is a product of Stanford University. Well, that would make sense. The Stanford Research Institute is something that is very, very mysterious, and is documenting where it goes and what it does. And yet, Hans has information about Condoleezza Rice. Go ahead, Hans.
Okay, I did research on her. First of all, there's information that's missing in her official biography, and I double-checked, and Condoleezza Rice was, in fact, on a study trip in the Soviet Union in 1978. Now, why would this information be missing in her official biography? That's a very good question. Condoleezza Rice was, of course... she was born in Louisiana, but I mean Alabama. I'm sorry. Then she moved to Denver, where she was helped to get on Denver University when she was 15 years old by, like I mentioned, Joseph Corbell. And let me quote the article from Washington Post in 2000 when about Condoleezza Rice. Suddenly, almost overnight, Rice found her vocation. It was like love at first sight, she recalls. Prodded by Corbell, a refugee from communism, she became fascinated by the Soviet Union and eventually decided to teach international relations herself. She described her old professor as one of the most central figures in my life, next to my parents.
Yes, let me, something else. She entered the University of Colorado, to pursue a career as a concert pianist, and when she applied for them and went to the consul, as they laughed at her, told her she simply didn't have the talent. And almost by accident, or by miracle, or by some other mechanism, she did run into this Corbell, so said, by listening to one of his lectures, and became instantly converted to a career in political science. She's had a vast amount of education. But if you read her utterances, her speeches, it's awful hard to detect any intelligence at all in it. For instance, while she says she's a great lover of Brahms, she says that he loves the passion in his work, but he's unsentimental. There's a great disconnect there. She's lacking some fundamental understanding and learning of people who are college educated. But if indeed she was involved with the Stanford Research Institute, she, as well as anybody else, would tend to be either an executor of the system or a victim of the system. Now, go ahead.
She was let me real quick say what who Joseph Corbell was. He was that should tell you right there. He was the one who organized when he was active in the Czechoslovak government as a basically advisor to then president of Czechoslovakia, Edvard Beneš.
Now keep your thoughts in place, Hans, that we have to go to commercial pause.
Sure.
For the free enterprise cause, people, support these sponsors. These directions to support the network are most vital to keep this flow of information going. So continue to support the sponsors on Republic Broadcasting.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
And as John's on the mend, I'm Chris Gerner filling in for John today and tomorrow. Starting next week, 2 to 4 p.m. Central Time on Republic Broadcasting, I'll return. Hansa, you had a thought. John, we're going to have to drop you off now. Any parting shots, John, before we can...
Yes, we've lived with the specter of a Manchurian candidate for 50 years, a half a century. I think we should be looking at that possibility very seriously today.
I appreciate that.
Very good thought. Yes, I agree completely. Let me real quick say about Joseph Corbell, because he was the one who brought Condoleezza Rice to politics. Joseph Korbel was the one who was Czechoslovak's highest level diplomat in the London exiled Czechoslovak government during the World War II. He orchestrated the signing of an agreement between then democratic Czechoslovak government and the communist criminal and tyrant Stalin in Moscow in 1943. That agreement was for friendship and cooperation for 20 years. With the communist Soviet Union and Stalin. Korbel knew about Stalin and knew what this kind of agreement could bring to democracy in Czechoslovakia after the war. Korbel was connected to secret member of the Communist Party Czechoslovakia and also diplomat in Czech exile government in London, Pavel Kaven, who also had played part in this infamous treaty between Stalin and the Czechoslovak president, Dr. Edvard Beneš. Pavel Kaven's son, Jan Kaven, an STB agent and communist spy codenamed Kato, has been allowed in recent year to become the UN General Assembly chairman. Korbel, father of now, I'm reading from my article, so I put down now, thank God, former U.S. Secretary of State Madeleine Albright.
There you go.
Korbel, after his obvious support of Stalin, left with his family to Yugoslavia in 1948 after the victory of communism in Czechoslovakia. Korbel's family defected to the United States. Now, why would Korbel defect if he was the one who set up such an important treaty for Stalin, and this open door has clearly helped Stalin to install communist tyrants into Czechoslovak government? Now, why would he defect if he was the one setting up such a treaty? That's, you know, that doesn't make sense. Now, there's one important fact about Korbel also and his family. There was Korbel's niece, Dagmar Daimlova-Shimova, who stayed with the Korbel family during the World War II in London. And she later returned to Czechoslovakia, and during the time when Joseph Korbel and Madeleine Albright were already in America, both involved in policy studies regarding communism, Soviet Union, and their native Czechoslovakia. Albright's cousin Dagmar was allowed by the Czechoslovak communists to work in the Czechoslovak communist press agency, CTK. This is totally impossible to happen because communists were very selective, and they wouldn't allow anybody who had family member in the West, namely in the United States, in such a high level position like Joseph Korbel and Madeleine Albright, because she was the senior fellow of the Center for Strategic Studies, the Soviet and Eastern European section. So you know, something like that could never happen. This was only allowed to happen for communist agents and communist cadres. The family member would be able to work for such an important communist propaganda tool as their press agency,
mm-hmm.
which was the monopoly press agency, by the way. So now we can also tie Condoleezza Rice to the person that put her into the White House, that's Brent Scowcroft, because he was the one who was picked by Alexander Haig. And Alexander Haig was picked by none other than already suspected Soviet agent Henry Kissinger.
You betcha.
So,
Henry Kissinger is someone that needs to have truth serum given to him in a public display of what he knows about the big picture in place. Henry Kissinger needs truth serum given in a public display of his information. This man, Henry Kissinger, has been around for years, and he's behind the scenes running the show with other people behind the scenes. And once again, you say Henry Kissinger is a suspected communist agent. That would make sense because of the way he engineered the Vietnam War and the Paris peace talks during the Vietnam War.
Right.
Go ahead.
What I'm saying, there was NSA intercept of Soviet report that went from from Soviet embassy in from Washington D.C. by Soviet ambassador Dobrynin involved a report that there was a CIA agent killed in Soviet Union, and the information supplied by this agent came from Dobrynin quoted thanks to help of Professor Kissinger. So, I mean, this is high treason.
Yes.
I mean, you can't go around that. I mean, how much are we going to tolerate this? You know, and of course, when you can trace this kind of contacts between Henry Kissinger all the way to Condoleezza Rice, and she is in favor of diplomacy with communists. We have serious problem. The best way for the State Department would be if the American people forced the State Department to shut down.
That would be the best way. There it is. That is the answer. The American people need to force the federal government to adhere to the Constitution of the United States of America, we haven't lived under a constitutional republic. We don't know what it's like to live under a constitutional republic. Henceforth, we don't know how that document is we don't know what it's like to live under that document at this point in time. We need to put pressure where it needs to be to eliminate the State Department.
I've dealt with the State Department employee in Czech Republic in Prague and the U.S. Embassy.
Mm-hmm.
I faxed them documents, the copy of documents that clearly show, and I posted it on my website with the name of the person, the documents showed how the agents involved in the Czech regime, the Czech government, how they protected their communist dossier from being declassified.
Mm-hmm.
And that was done in 1990, and I had the copy of the document, that order of the Minister of Interior. I faxed it to our embassy. I visited the U.S. Embassy in Prague and wanted to talk to the person there in charge of these kind of information. I wanted to get Mr. Sibulka, I quoted last time, to be deposed by U.S. Representative. Nothing of that. They were not interested at all. Either we have totally incompetent people in charge, or they are just recruited. I mean, I don't see that any other way, Chris.
The infiltration of the State Department of communist agents certainly is apparent to those of us that do the research. And Joan Vion has said to me that the State Department absolutely went communist in 1960. Henceforth, in 1961, State Department Publication 7277 to completely disarm this country. Soon after that, the Blueprint for the Peace Race, which engineered State Department Publication 7277, that was in 1962. In 1962, the same thing came into place with Codex Alimentarius, the control of food and vitamins, 1962. Here we have it coming into fruition now. So let's move along and take Mike in Maryland. The number to call, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. And welcome to the broadcast, Mike.
Hey, great show and a fascinating guest as always.
Thank you.
You kind of reiterated what I was going to. I mean, I'm kind of going to reiterate what you're saying. But aren't we witnessing basically a red dawn in slow motion in this country over the decades, from internally and ultimately externally, but beginning with Edwin House being Roosevelt's right hand man, and I think being in Wilson's cabinet in the early 1900s on up to, of course, Roosevelt. And then,
Wilson's alter ego.
Yeah. And then with us giving away the Panama Canal to the Red Chinese, with, with the State Department and everything involved there.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, is our government so treasonous and so entrenched? And, of course, with Charlotte Isery saying that our education system is being merged with the Soviet Union and all these things. I mean, there are people that could much better articulate what's going on. Charlotte Isby, try to have her as a guest. She is. I got her book.
Yeah.
The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America.
Yes.
The damn thing is as big as a phone book of a small city.
Full of documentation.
And so I'm reading some other books, so I'm not going to tackle that till I'm ready. So she would be a great guest to have. And
yeah, we'll get her.
Joan Vian, if she's available. She's probably so busy.
Well, I can get Joan Vian now that I'm on a network that we have listeners on, where I was before and am before. I couldn't justify bringing her on, but now I can justify bringing Joan Vian on Republic Broadcasting. So Joan Vian, Charlie Isabee, they will be guests in the very near future.
Well, that's great. Well, you know, believe it or not, I enjoyed listening to your show that you were on previously because I found your information extremely valuable, and you're, bringing up issues that very few people would bring up, at least to the degree that you had.
Interesting.
Derry Brownfield quite frequently talks about Agenda 21 and sustainable development. That's a weekly thing, a couple times a week with him.
It's very interesting. I've never heard a bad word said about Derry Brownfield. I'm sure he's very together in his thoughts about his concern for our country.
Oh, he's a great guy. I mean, people would, you know, but so I don't know. So basically, my question is, you know, you got Chinese troops in the Panama Canal. They're swarming over South America. I talked to this one guy who was a Christian missionary, and he said he saw them in South America, Central America. Is our government so treasonous that they're just going to roll out the red carpet for them and just let them embark on our ports?
Thanks for your thoughts, Mike. We'll talk about that and address that on the other side of the commercial pause for the free enterprise cause. Stay with us, listeners. And welcome back to the broadcast. Once again, I'm Chris Gerner with Hansa Molina today. The anticommunistanalyst.com is the website, listeners. It's on our website, americanexpose.com. The anticommunistanalyst.com, Hansa Molina. Listen, aren't we being set up for the unconditional surrender of our country, as I see in the current communist goals of 1963, read into the congressional record on January 10th, 1963? Number one, U.S. acceptance of coexistence as the only alternative to atomic war. Hans, aren't we being set up for the unconditional surrender of our country?
How should I put it? I think we're being set up to either accept the terms of the communists, or as they know that the American people will not stand for it, they are preparing to attack us. That's one of each. Of course, you know, either they like to create civil war in America, or which will weaken our defenses, and you know, that way they could attack us, or they will bring a major terrorist attack organized by the Russian controlled Al Qaeda. Why do I say this? I just found an amazing article written by Jeff Nyquist. It's called Chechen Mafia. The Chechen War and Bin Laden Nukes, published by the Financial Sense publication. And let me quote real quick about the Chechen Mafia, how they are planning to use this. The significant thing to remember when studying the double game in Russia is the Russian and Arab intelligence services have told U.S. officials that Chechen terrorists acquired Soviet nuclear weapons for Al-Qaeda. Who are these Chechen terrorist leaders? What do we know about Shamil Basayev? He's the leader of the Chechen Mafia. Now, Shamil Basayev, according to Boris Kagarlitsky's January 24, 2000 article in Novaya Gazeta in Russia, there was a secret meeting in the summer of 1999 between Yeltsin Chief of Staff Alexander Voloshin and Shamil Basayev in France. Voloshin wanted Basayev to help Moscow start a small war in Chechnya. Kagarlitsky alleged that Shamil Basayev and his brother had long been special agents of the main intelligence directorate of the Russian General Staff. The reason for starting a small war in Chechnya was said to be political. Yeltsin's successor had to be anointed. Basically, they wanted to create the notion that Russia has a terrorism problem, but they set it up themselves. In February 2000, I'm quoting from the article, Persia article, Who Blew Up Russia, researcher Pyotr Pyashnikov wrote that Chechnya's terrorists have been trained by the GRU, by Russia's Spetsnaz, Special Diversionary Troops. Pyashnikov stated that the Basayev brothers, Shamil and Shirvani, were both recruited as agents by the main intelligence directorate of the Russian General Staff in 1991-92. It should be noted that Spetsnaz troops are airborne trained. Perhaps it fails. It falls right that Shamil Basayev was a Soviet paratrooper in the mid-1980s when he met General Diyarzhar Dudayev, commander of a Soviet Air Force regiment that was then wiping out Afghans with carpet bombing. Dudayev later became born-again Muslim, which is, again, I mean, that's laughable, as well as president of, quote, independent, unquote, Chechnya. According to Pyashnikov, Basayev was initially recruited by the GRU to organize kidnappings, bombings, and airline hijackings in Russia and Abkhazia. That is, the Russian General Staff saw fit to orchestrate terrorist attacks on Russian soil. In this regard, all operations initiated by the Russian General Staff are strategic operations conducted after careful consideration. So, you know, there you have it. I mean, I'm not saying anything different. This is targeted operation that we will actually accept that Russia has terrorism problem. Our so-called analysts, as I quoted Condoleezza Rice and there are other people, don't see this kind of deceptive strategy of Moscow, and we are being set up for a nuclear war. And you know, you can go back to that article you quoted last week, Chris. The report that was done on Coast to Coast by Mr. Williams, that Al Qaeda already has nuclear bombs. You know, we will see more of this kind of deception spread around in America. So we are being set up for a terrorist attack. We will actually think that this is Al Qaeda, and the attack will be carried out by the Russian special forces. Because I said last time when I talked, you know, when I was on your show, there's no way that Russian would actually allow anybody but themselves to control nuclear weapons. That's out of the question. That's totally out of the question.
Very interesting, as once again we see from the repository in Canton, Ohio, Russia loses track of 100 nuke bombs. Russia doesn't lose track of their bombs, do they?
Like I said, and I asked about this, you know, in an interview with Mr. Sibuka, he said entire guard unit that guards these nuclear bombs would be shot immediately. They would be stand up against the wall and shot. That's, you know, that's how it works. There's no way, I mean, no way, that Russia would lose the track of their nuclear bombs. That this is targeted, totally targeted operation. It's no
way. We'll be back to continue with Hansa. 800-313-9443. Any thoughts? We'll be right back.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network. You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
Okay, we're back. Apparently, we're right over the target. I have a major computer problem that just all of a sudden just established itself here. So I'm flying blind now, Hansa. And if we do have callers, Paul, you have to let me know. Okay, and certainly we see the fact that Russia loses track of 100 nuke bombs dated 1997. That is September 5th. We have a caller. Who is this again? Welcome to the broadcast, caller. Come on up.
Hello?
Yeah, who is this? Sam?
Yes, Sam.
Hi, Sam.
Hey, I've got a question for your guest there. With what he's talking about with the nukes being brought into this country.
Right.
I'm under the impression that we have satellite technology that actually scans for this stuff. The idea that it can come into the country without detection, me would almost be impossible. I would think that if that.
Okay, now when you think that, think of that, think about all the sea crate containers coming into our country uninspected.
Well, no, I understand that, but I understand the satellite technology we have will actually penetrate 400 meters of ground. So there's nothing that's impervious to it. It'll go through lead, my understanding. And with that being the case, I would think that people on our own government would have to be involved in something like that.
Well, that's a good thought. Huh?
Well, there was an article that actually specified that Moscow gave Saddam Hussein the list of U.S. satellites, tracking satellites, so he could keep moving his weapons in Iraq unnoticed, because our satellite couldn't watch Iraq 24 hours, so because the air is turning, of course, and so the Russians gave the list of our tracking satellites to Saddam Hussein, so we can't really watch everything there is. I mean, we certainly try, but there's certain ways to conceal a nuclear bomb, and I'm sure that the Russians are fully aware of that and implement the strategy in full effect. So there's the claim of Colonel Lunev, who stated that these in his case the dirty bombs, the suitcase nukes, were already prepositioned in America. So of course, we can speculate and ask questions, but as far as tracking of container traffic and tracking of these movements, even the involvement of Russian nationals living in America in these kind of operations, namely the truck drivers, that is not being addressed by our government. Of course, I had a meeting last year with the FBI in Idaho, and I stated clearly that we should start watching the Russians, the Russian truck drivers and Russian companies and Eastern European companies, what they do. And I presented these facts to the special agent in charge of this investigation, and I'm hoping that our government is considering this as very serious.
Yeah. Well, the reason I mention it that way, because, it's no secret now that at least most people in the Patriot Movement understand that 9/11 was a wash. That was an inside job, and complete complicity with our government, or at least the appearance of it. And of course, Pearl Harbor, we knew about that weeks before it actually happened. Now that everybody is involved in it, is dead.
No, what I'm saying is 9/11 was done, was organized by Russia. That's a done deal because of their connection to Al Qaeda. The training of Mohammed Atta in Czechoslovakia in 1988 was revealed to me by during the meeting with former Czech intelligence officer who was in charge of counterterrorism task force during that time.
Now, let me interrupt now. If that was the case, we would have had to condone it, too. We would have to accepted this alliance with Russia to allow that to happen, because our defenses in the air, our NORAD defenses, which are very, very state-of-the-art, weren't existing at the time of that happening.
Right.
Go ahead.
Chris, also, Bill Clinton, because Mohammed Atta was involved in the Oklahoma City bombing, I mean, there's over 100 witnesses that said that, have seen the Arabs there, and his picture was given in a sketch, and Bill Clinton forced the FBI to stop looking for him.
Hmm.
Well, yeah, but Bill Clinton is not... we shouldn't count Bill Clinton as a good example of what the U.S. president should be, namely his 1969-1970 visit to Soviet Union and subsequently to Prague, Czechoslovakia, where he was in fact staying in a home of colonel of the Czechoslovak military intelligence and a son-in-law of the founding member of the Czechoslovak Communist Party, and Bill Clinton was staying in his house for about a week or so, and This is not, of course, nothing new about Bill Clinton. His policies of disarming America and supplying, for example, U.S. uranium to North Korea. Of course, Madeleine Albright was also involved in that fiasco when North Koreans started building nuclear bombs instead of using that uranium for peaceful purposes and energy production. We can seriously question who Bill Clinton is, and of course the how he allowed the sale of our satellite technology to the communist Chinese.
That is
high treason in my book, and there should be serious investigation of Clinton's involvement. Of course,
one step further though, Bush has continued that, and then also who was Clinton palling around with? I mean, Barbara Bush actually made the public statement that Bill Clinton was the surrogate son she always wanted.
Right. And who's in charge of tsunami relief today?
Right.
But Bill Clinton.
And Bush has continued on with everything. Current President Bush has continued on with all the programs Clinton put in place.
Right.
He's never stopped any of the intelligence trading and any of that stuff that's gone on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a major mistake. I think there's also involvement of people who advise President Bush and the whole society. If you look at the American society, we are not aware that we don't accept the fact that the collapse of communism was staged and organized by Russia, by the Soviet Union, and it was set up long time ago. I was able to find when we talk about the infiltration of our government, I was looking in a Red Cocaine book, Chris, and I found this interesting quote, if I may quote it real quick.
Yeah.
The use of corruption data for blackmail for recruiting agents of influence is a long-standing Marxist-Leninist tactic which is used on a global scale. Czechoslovak intelligence divided its dossiers on corruption into two categories, people already in position of power and people at lower levels who were likely to advance into positions of power. By 1967, Czechoslovak intelligence had about 2,500 dossiers on people in the first category. These files did not duplicate the dossiers maintained by others who were active in Latin America, the Cubans, East Germans, Hungarians, Bulgarians, and Soviets, because of cooperation among the intelligence services. As an indication that these numbers are not unreasonable, in 1971, a Frenchman by the name of Bud Cohn was caught bringing heroin into Canada. He was deported to France and convicted there of exporting heroin. During the trial, Bud Cohn was identified as a member of the French Communist Party and an agent of the subsection Groupement Cinq of the Soviet KGB. During this trial, a French newspaper, and I can't pronounce the name, so forgive me, I don't speak French, so reported that when arrested, he had in his possession a list of 2,000 heroin addicts in Canada, many of whom were prominent civil servants, artists, radio and television entertainers, and university professors. Now we have to ask, so this is Canada. Now how many of them were caught doing drugs and doing all kinds of illegal stuff in America, who is the main enemy of Soviet Union? It must be gigantic. So this is actually how they do it, and such strategy continues.
Keep in mind that the Ford Foundation, as Roland Gaither stated to Norman Dodd in an interview in 1953, that they shall so alter the life in America that we can be comfortably merged with the Soviet Union. Now, how is that going to be engineered? Well, we could be living it right now with this Al-Qaeda scenario with the suitcase bombs, you know what I mean?
No, absolutely. I did the research on the case involving Czech Republic, one of the again quote former unquote Soviet satellites, and according to British terrorism expert Simon Reeve in his book New Jackals, we can read on page 216 the following: according to a British intelligence privy to the records of Egyptian interrogations of captured Afghan Arabs, members of Al Qaeda operating graduating from Albania have obtained samples of anthrax and the lethal viral agent botulism from a laboratory in the Czech Republic, which is the Communist Military Research Center Tichonin near the city of Hradec Králové, for U.S. $7,500 a sample. And this was reported, and this was done in 1995. Biological weapons in the hands of Al-Qaeda from our NATO ally, Czech Republic. Major scandal, there was investigation in Czech Republic, never brought anybody to justice. These people were never even uncovered. So, this is targeted operation by the Soviet bloc, which pretends only to be friendly to America, but in the case, they are training and supplying terrorists, which they in fact control. And when we get hit, you know, Russia will claim that they have nothing to do with it.
Well,
okay,
I don't see that very convenient, but now, Chris,
yeah.
I'm also understanding that the evidence I've seen shows that our own CIA was the one to help create Al-Qaeda. Well, we did fund them, and we didn't find them with weaponry. So, I mean, it sounds like, I'm not saying your guess is wrong, but it sounds like there's collusion here. I don't think this is...
Here's the funny thing about all this, the CIA, Mossad, MI6, KGB, we just don't know, but yet Abdul Shams from Afghanistan in his book, In Cold Blood, where his country was invaded by the Soviet Union, he stated that the roads that were built by the Soviets north to south, which held the weight, the bridges held the weight of vehicles 20 times the weight of any Afghan vehicle. Obviously, it was for tanks. Well, the Soviets built the roads north to south, and Abdul Shams said our U.S. Army Corps of Engineers built the roads east to west to invade Afghanistan. So
yeah,
we have collusion here, and we don't know anything about the CIA, although they have the CIA World Factbook, where they monitor every country in the world and monitor what kind of UN treaties they've signed on to and haven't signed on to, and that's on the website AmericanExpose.com. So, yes, collusion that we can't get to the bottom of, and there you have it.
Well,
Chris.
Go ahead, Sam.
I'm going to lose signal here in a minute, so
okay.
I appreciate your show and I appreciate your guest.
Thank you very much, Sam.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. If we do have another caller, just let me know, because my computer is on the blink right now. Go ahead, Hanzo. Where were your thought patterns going?
Not that I would, you know, there's certainly people involved in the CIA that are working for the enemy, but, the problem with the CIA is that CIA is not reporting this stuff about Russia, is not warning the administration what's going on.
Well, maybe they're in collusion with the KGB.
Well, yeah, I mean, like I said, and I just read how they recruit people. There was a policy I know of in the 1980s in the CIA that they were recruiting, in fact, people that had loose morals, they had really bad manners. Again, who brought this policy in? This is the major, this is the open door for the Soviet intelligence services recruitment operations. Because if you find out that people have, you know, let's say cheat on their wives or, doing drugs or any of that, some kind of illegal or moral, really bad moral activity, this is the kind of people that the Soviet intelligence services would want in our intelligence services, because, of course, then these people are compromised, blackmailed, and once they start supplying information, so their bad manners wouldn't be publicized, then the communists immediately move in and say, now you are involved in high treason, now you're really working for us. So this is how they recruit the people, and of course, those who will not cooperate or are no longer useful, those are their cover is blown, and that in fact happened to Robert Hansen, who was ready to retire anyway, so he was no longer useful for the Russians, so his cover was blown and he got uncovered. But you know, there is a situation in our government where we have to watch out. But you know, these people should be questioned for how come they didn't see Russians building 200 bunkers, what it means, how come they don't understand what it means that Russians are building these installations and proliferating weapons of mass destruction, now helping publicly, acknowledging that they are helping in military sphere to Iran. You know, these are, I'm looking at the statement from Condoleezza Rice, for example, Chris. This is very interesting. When the U.S. military intelligence reported, and according to the Bill Gertz report, Russian GRU and Spetsnaz units moved Saddam Hussein's weapons to Syria. In her public statement on the Laura Ingraham show, Condoleezza Rice dismissed the facts, and she stated, "I have seen no credible evidence that indicates that any Russian involvement at all."
Mm.
Now, this just shows, you know, based on who she was associated with, you know, the level of ignorance and maybe perhaps intent, you know, of these people to do harm to America. And I, you know, of course, I'm not accusing anybody of being a spy, but certainly I'm concerned about, you know, what's going on, the total.
That's,
you know,
a very diplomatic thing to say, and we'll leave it at that.
Right, right.
We'll be back to wrap up the broadcast, listeners, with Hans and Melina. Be back tomorrow with John Charles Ainsworth. Stay with me. Certainly wrapping it up, filling in for John Stadmiller. I'm Chris Gerner, and tomorrow we'll do the same thing. The Perestroika deception, their conclusion on page 220, and certainly you missed a lot. I haven't read anything of this, but it says here, unless addressed, these factors will leave the Central Intelligence Agency, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, and the intelligence community as a whole unprepared and vulnerable in the face of the coming disinformation campaign. There is accordingly an urgent need for a CIA counteraction program to be added to the priorities already defined in the new Director of Central Intelligence. The CIA and FBI and other components of the intelligence community should create a special research and advisory staff of experts, both old and new, to assess and counteract the campaign. So obviously infiltration has been going on for many, many years. Hans, we just have a couple of minutes to wrap this thing up today. What were your thoughts on all this?
Well, I've been saying just about the same thing. I'm looking at, I just sent it to you, by the way, a BBC News report, Russian government has approved a plan to make people more patriotic. And I'm looking at a picture from Russia of young teenagers dressed in a white shirt with red star on the shirt.
Mm.
And underneath it says in Russian, Nasha Pobeda. That means our victory. And, you know, red star right there. And, you know, this is what these, you know, this is what the Moscow is playing now. So is this, and of course, it says the report, Soviet-style military training will be reintroduced into schools. There are plans to organize patriotic songs, contests, and competition for Patriot of the Year. The plan aims to make patriotism the spiritual backbone of Russia and is designed to counter attempts in the media discrediting patriotic ideas. Well,
in other words, bringing back the old Soviet Union's thought patterns?
That's what it is. And I'm looking at the pictures right here, and that's what I speak. I can read Russian, and it says right underneath the red star, Nasha Pobeda, our victory. No, what is it? What kind of victory and what's associated with Red Star? I mean, that's again, you know, it's obvious what these people are preparing for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so,
all that war.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, you know, and then they're building nuclear bombs and they have nuclear bunkers ready.
Yeah.
They control the terrorist networks. And, you know, our government is either sleeping or infiltrated, you know, or I don't know what else I can say.
Now, these series of broadcasts that we've done with Hansa are available from the network and on the archives. You need to make copies of them. You need to purchase them. You need to get this word out. We need to get our sheer numbers of people that are awake and to this situation and put pressure where it deserves to be, right on the federal doorstep. Our state legislators, our state constitutions have been abandoned because of the Federal Reserve debt note dollar. We're subservient to the Federal Reserve. There is the crux of the problem. And as this has been going on for so many decades, sheer numbers of people waking up and getting educated is the key. Hansa, thank you for being with me today. And we'll be back tomorrow and Monday, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Central Time, Monday, starting next Monday on Republic Broadcasting. Good evening, listeners. God bless you all.